Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today.
For all you elk hunters out there, chasing turkeys is basically the same thing. I know the reaction you just gave me, but don't knock it till you try it, and don't try it without OnX. The Hunt app will not only help you find new areas on public ground, but I use it to find out landowner info to get permission on private ground that I see birds on as well. OnX Hunt has a special offer for you. Use code CAL to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt and find more birds this spring.
There's nothing like snook hook sets at dawn or catching a tarpon in the moonlight. Find your next fishing trip made easy on fishingbooker.com and experience the magic of the Sunshine State or any other destination on your fishing bucket list. Book a blue water adventure in search of sailfish or go snapper fishing with the kids. With over 6,000 captains and trips to choose from, planning your next one just got a whole lot easier. Download the Fishing Booker app on the Google Play or App Store, or visit them online at fishingbooker.com to book your trip today.
From Meteor's World News Headquarters in Bozeman, Montana, this is Cal's Week in Review, presented by Steel. Steel products are available only at authorized dealers. For more, go to steeldealers.com. Now, here's your host, Ryan Cal Callahan.
A Maine woman found herself in the hospital last week after she punched a black bear that was attacking her dog. The Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife told local media that 64-year-old Lynn Kelly was working in her garden when her dog began to bark and ran into the woods. Just a few moments later, the dog ran back out of the woods with a black bear in pursuit. According to officials, quote, Kelly confronted the bear head-on, and when the bear stood up, she stood up as tall as she could, then punched the bear in the nose. Not happy with the old bop to the sniffer, the bear bit Kelly on the right hand and punctured her right wrist. Fortunately for the 64-year-old, the bear then released her wrist and ran back into the woods. Kelly was treated at the hospital for puncture wounds, but is expected to be okay. Further investigation revealed that the bear was a frequent visitor, you guessed it, to the neighborhood bird feeders. Wildlife officials have set live traps for the bear, but it hasn't been seen since its run-in with Miss Kelly, which stands up. My kindergarten teacher, Meg Kelly, another Miss Kelly, was, you know, I think knowing her family, she'd probably, if she ever chose to let one rip, it'd probably sting a little bit. It'd be memorable. Knowing her husband, there's a lot of, you know, pent-up aggression there. Anyway, what you have to ask yourself is your dog worth fighting up a couple of weight classes for? For me, yes. But the Eye of the Tiger, being a great song as it is, won't likely be ringing in your ears when you're up against 3-inch teeth and 2-inch claws. It sounds like Kelly has a mean uppercut, but she was lucky to have escaped with nothing more than a chewed up wrist. Best not to provoke an encounter with a black bear, but if you find yourself in a scrap with one that you cannot get out of, swing for the fences, fight dirty, and make sure it knows you just aren't worth the effort. This week, we've got, well, lots of conservation, of course. What podcast did you sign up for? Wildlife crime, regulations, so much more. But first, I'm going to tell you about my week. In my week, and had a few things going on. One, we threw down in the parking lot of the new Meat Eater HQ here in Los Angeles, Montana, with a tent sale. First Light, Phelps, FHF, and the highlight, of course, was all of you folks who came down to say hello. Thank you so much on behalf of all of us. You interrupted a beautiful weekend, or a family vacation, or just, you know, brave the Los Angeles traffic to get across town on a hot day, and that means a lot. Sincerely, great spending time with each and every one of you. Just a recap. Dude, I know the crew and the job sounds good, but if you don't make it clear to your future boss that you want a work review at the 6-month period, or, you know, maybe a little bit later, then those, quote, raises are just not going to materialize. Bring that up before you sign. They'll know you're serious, and you'll be on the right track from the get-go. Sheep Hunter, yes, you suck because you drew the first year ever applying, but you have the tag, so now what? You have an excuse to scout and hike yourself into shape every weekend. As a tagless majority, you owe that to us. And don't get wrapped up in your gear list by speculating. We'll get it all dialed when you have the experience up on that mountain. You're fortunate enough to do that. It's only a couple hours away, so make it happen. Families headed to Glacier. You know what I told you. Don't let the locals scare you. Those are good spots. And most of all, adjust your expectations. Yes, there will be traffic, there will be people. And speaking of parks, bring bear spray and do the fishing. It's great. Dad with the new job in Helena. You know what you're in for. Good luck. For all listeners who are traveling through Montana or any other state, there are really good folks on the Montana Department of Transportation working on sizzling roads this summer. Be safe. Don't look at your phones when you're driving through construction sites or ever, and wave once in a while. If you are hiking in the crazies, help those goat hunters out. Let them know where you saw them, and don't forget the sunscreen. In regards to purchasing stuff of any kind, but mostly our stuff, stay within your budget, go slow, build your kit, and figure out what works for you. Trust me when I say it's great when you can buy everything all at once, but that's not reality for most folks, and I honestly think it's better to buy a piece or two at a time and concentrate on being outside. Then you'll know what other pieces of kit you actually need and how it all works together. Baby steps. To the future Montana State Bobcat D-line and O-line who showed up, keep making people look silly in practice, and I'll sacrifice a day of hunting to watch you play this season. Hopefully post-season, let's be honest. And on top of that, I'll also not tell anyone how cute you boys are for shopping for your little brothers. On top of that, to the big family truckster at the Midnight Special, we'll come watch you play on Wednesday, and thank you for the invite, even if, Old Crow Medicine Show is kind of getting to be old people music. But one last thing before we wrap up the menagerie of folks who stopped by, again, thank you. I had the pleasure of meeting a couple who are now Wyoming residents. They were asking about hunting opportunities for their son, who is rightfully obsessed with hunting, but not yet of age. He wants nothing more than to hunt antelope with his bow, probably on horseback. And despite having no thumbs and no scapula in his left arm, which makes things like the fore end of a rifle hard to hold up, he is working on archery and flinging arrows at pigeons in his yard. This young future hunter, who is a year away from legal hunting in Wyoming, is highly mobile on his prosthetic legs and is both bound and determined to hunt and does not want to be treated to anything special, like a mobility-impaired hunt. So I thought I would inquire on his behalf for him because I can relate to the fact that nothing is worse than anybody thinking you're special. Yuck. So please write in to askcal@themeateater.com and let me know if we can maybe give this young Wyoming resident a bit of a boost somehow. Good reminder here to tell everybody about the Aiden Long Scholarship at Backcountry Hunters and Anglers that helps with providing cash toward gear that will help mobility-impaired youth get into the outdoors. I know there's a lot of folks and a lot of organizations that do this full-time. If this is something you'd like to donate to, you can do that. And just know that I'm on the board of that committee and help pick out the folks who it will benefit the most, I guess, most deserving. However you want to say it, it's going to go to a good spot. And for a little bit of housekeeping before we move on, if you're in the Conneaut, Ohio general metropolitan area, which is outside of Cleveland, they're on the shores of Lake Erie or thereabouts, July 21 through July 23, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers muster in the marsh. I'll be there all 3 days. There's going to be all the things you love about the BHA crowd. Skills, workshops, demos, lots of vendors, education and discussion, kids and family activities, on-site camping, live music, campfire stories, phenomenal food, wild game, how-tos, and, you know, a couple of beers probably around there too, but very family-friendly, tons of fun. Come down, say hi to me. We can talk about all of this great conservation stuff that we know and love. I will see you there. Conneaut, Ohio, BHA, Muster in the Marsh, July 21 through July 23. Get your tickets now. All right, moving on to the conservation desk. In Maine, conservation groups are celebrating the protection of over 13,000 acres in the southwest part of the state. Quill Hill encompasses about 7,000 acres, and the Perham Stream on the slopes of Mount Abraham is just over 6,500 acres. The Trust for Public Land, TPL, the Nature Conservancy, and the Maine Bureau of Parks and Lands joined forces to permanently conserve these areas, and this is the largest conservation project during the tenure of Maine Governor Janet Mills. The land is important to the area's economy for forestry products, as well as for hunting, fishing, and hiking. While a portion of the property will be set aside as an ecological reserve, the public will be able to access the entire 13,000 acres for recreation, and timber harvest will continue. In Virginia, two environmental groups have filed a lawsuit against the U.S. Navy for violating the Clean Water Act by testing weapons systems in the Potomac River. These groups claim that the Naval Surface Warfare Center in Dahlgren, Virginia, has fired more than 33 million pounds of munitions into the Potomac that contain toxic metals, solvents, explosives, and other potentially harmful materials. The Navy itself admitted in a 2013 environmental impact statement that it fires about 4,700 large caliber projectiles from Dahlgren every year and sets off more than 200 explosions in the river. Environmental groups say that the chemicals released from these munitions are harming wildlife, but the lawsuit doesn't actually ask for the Navy to stop weapons testing. Instead, they want the Navy to be forced to secure discharge permits from the Environmental Protection Agency, which is usually mandated under the Clean Water Act. It's unclear whether the Navy could get a discharge permit if the courts say they need one. Military officials have yet to comment on the lawsuit. Thanks to listener Gary Schuler for sending us that story. Up in Michigan, local residents in the Saugatuck area are pushing back against a high-end development project at the mouth of the Kalamazoo River. A real estate developer called North Shore of Saugatuck purchased the 300-acre site. Yeah, I know. I get it, folks. Just write in, askcal@themeateater.com. Let me know how I need to pronounce that. Anyway, now the company wants to build 50 large homes along with a private marina and canal so residents of the upscale neighborhood can park their yachts. But opponents of the project say it will destroy part of the well-known Saugatuck Dunes. They say the dunes in the mouth of the Kalamazoo River are critical habitat for lake sturgeon, eastern box turtles, endangered prairie warblers, and other creatures. The Saugatuck Dunes Coastal Alliance is suing the developer in court, and they're also petitioning the Michigan Department of Natural Resources to deny the permits to build the canal. The Michigan DNR has not said whether they plan to issue permits, but they did say fish habitat will be one of the things they consider. Adult lake sturgeon use the mouth of the Kalamazoo River in early spring to stage for spawning before they swim upstream. In the fall, juveniles use the area for feeding prior to moving out into Lake Michigan. If you live in the southeastern part of the Mitten State and you haven't already heard of this controversy, you'll want to keep an eye on this one. Thanks to listener Mike Ortiz for giving us a heads up. It's a choice between a yacht and, you know, things that unfortunately not everybody thinks are as sexy as a box turtle, a lake sturgeon, prairie warblers. Kind of reminds me of a certain scene in a certain movie.
So I think we should go into town tomorrow and pick up a ski boat. What do you say? Sound good, guys? Uncle Roman will blow some coin on a kick-ass drag boat.
That's okay. We're renting a pontoon boat. Pontoon boat. What the hell are you going to do with a pontoon boat? Retake Omaha Beach?
Now, a lot of you guys are familiar with the old hunting tradition of eating, you know, some organ, the heart or a chunk of liver off the first animal you kill. I had that when I was a little kid, and it was a big deal. Organ meats were always prized by frontier people who knew the importance of getting a lot of different minerals and nutrients. And, as often is the case, those guys were onto something. Because organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. And you can get the same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil, made exclusively from regeneratively raised, grass-fed, and finished cattle. Heart and Soil's unique freeze-drying process means all those important nutrients are trapped in, ensuring you experience every one of the benefits of nature's superfood in a clean, convenient, taste-free capsule. Find out more at heartandsoil.co and make sure to use code MeatEater for 10% off your purchase. That's heartandsoil.co. Use the code MeatEater.
For all you elk hunters out there, chasing turkeys is basically the same thing. I know the reaction you just gave me, but don't knock it till you try it, and don't try it without OnX. The Hunt app will not only help you find new areas on public ground, but I use it to find out landowner info to get permission on private ground that I see birds on as well. OnX Hunt has a special offer for you. Use code CAL to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt and find more birds this spring. Hey, I just sat down with the owners and operators of Maui Nui Venison. You've heard that name before because I've talked about them here on this podcast. They're on a mission to balance axis deer populations on Maui while giving back to the community and run a totally sustainable operation. Now, it's wild axis deer, which is an invasive species, but this operation is monitored and observed by the USDA, and they can commercially sell axis deer. Last time I went out to Maui to hunt axis, I did not kill one, which is where Maui Nui Venison would come in very handy for folks like me who want to get your own meat but aren't always successful and still want to have something in the freezer or handy in the form of a snack stick that is as close to getting your own as you can get, which is what Maui Nui Venison is. You can become a snack subscriber, get some axis deer sticks sent right to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's M-A-U-I-N-U-I, venison.com. And use promo code CAL for 20% off your first order. Moving on to the crime desk. A Wyoming man had his hunting license suspended for 35 years and will be forced to pay over $25,000 in fines after his friend turned him in for leaving a mule deer buck to waste. Officials say Dayton resident Ryan Schmidt poached several mule deer and whitetail in 2020 and 2021. According to a recent report in the Sheridan Press, some were properly tagged, some were snuck back to Schmidt's apartment, and some were fraudulently tagged with friends' licenses. Schmidt may have continued committing wildlife crimes for years if not for his friend, or I should probably say former friend Matt Culver. Culver went mule deer hunting with Schmidt in the fall of 2021 on private property with permission from the landowner. Schmidt fired four rounds at a buck, two of which missed and two of which struck the torso and the rear right leg, but by that time the buck was not on the right property. Schmidt and Culver dragged the buck into a nearby ditch and left it there. Culver told game wardens he believed this wasn't the first time Schmidt had improperly disposed of a deer. An investigation was launched in October of 2021. Searches of Schmidt's property and phone revealed enough evidence to convict him of six counts of taking an antlered big game animal without proper license, one count of waste or abandonment of big game animal, one count of failure to tag a big game animal, and one count of taking deer without a license. He escaped jail time by serving 1 year of probation, and it doesn't look like Culver received any punishment. But Schmidt's neighbor, a woman named Amanda Freeman, got hit with nearly $2,000 in fines for helping Schmidt process the poached deer and illegally transferring tags. I know what you're going to say. That's deep Schmidt for some, and not for others. A New York man has been cited with animal cruelty for setting a raccoon on fire after he'd caught it in a live trap. To add irony to injury, the trap he used was a have a heart. That's have a heart, as in to have compassion, not to burn alive. Maybe this New Yorker misread the packaging. Anyway, police say 35-year-old Willis Bowles Jr. caught the raccoon in the have a heart trap and then proceeded to douse the animal in lighter fluid and set it on fire. He captured the incident on his phone and posted the video to social media. But that wasn't the end of his trouble. The investigation into the flambéed raccoon revealed that Bowles was in possession of an illegal firearm, what the state of New York calls an assault weapon. If convicted, the gun charge will land him in much hotter water than the animal cruelty charge. So that's a little poetic justice for the raccoon. Thanks to listener Nick Falanga for sending that one in. Colorado Parks and Wildlife is asking the public to help identifying the laziest poacher in the Centennial State. Game wardens say that after shooting a bull elk twice with a high-powered rifle, this individual harvested a single backstrap from the large animal. He or she then sawed off one of the antlers, but didn't even bother taking it home. They simply left it there on the ground. Officials believe the animal was killed between June 24 and the morning of June 26 between the towns of Como and Hartzell. The state is offering a $1,000 reward, along with a free preference point or hunting license to anyone who offers information that leads to the filing of charges. If you have any info on an elk poacher in Park County, Colorado, call 877-265-6648 or email game.thief@state.co.us. We'll also post this info and a bunch of other fun stuff at themeateater.com/Cal. Wisconsin residents also have a chance to do their best Columbo impression. St. Croix Falls Police Department is asking for the public's help finding the person or persons who trespassed on a state-owned fish hatchery, damaged property, and killed and injured several fish. They also stole a rare blue-colored brown trout that had resided at the hatchery for the last 6 years. The blue coloring comes from a naturally occurring genetic mutation in rainbow trout and, even more rarely, in brown trout. The blue coloring makes it difficult for them to survive in the wild, but they're often kept at hatcheries for the public to see. The St. Croix Falls State Fish Hatchery has operated since 1919 and is one of Wisconsin's primary trout brood stations. The trout that were killed would have been used to stock the state's lakes and rivers. If you think you can solve the case of the disappearing blue trout, give the St. Croix Falls Police Station a call. Thanks to listener Troy Buttle for sending this one in. First fly rod was a St. Croix, by the way. Real good stick. Up in Idaho, the owner of a craft store was just convicted of purchasing poached mountain lions and a golden eagle. After a 3-day trial, a jury found 65-year-old Gordon A. Wilson guilty of 9 felony counts of purchasing unlawfully taken wildlife. He purchased 8 mountain lions, 2 of which were spotted kittens, even though he knew they'd been snared, which is illegal in Idaho. What's more, Wilson advised the sellers on the best way to hide the fact that the animals had been snared. Evidence presented at trial also showed that Wilson had cut the head and feet off a golden eagle and told the seller to dispose the body in a dumpster. It is generally illegal to kill raptors in all 50 states, but golden eagles are also federally protected. Wilson is being held in custody without bond because he apparently threatened to kill the poachers if they ratted him out to the police. Makes you think twice about going into an antique shop, doesn't it? The mob has its gambling, the drug cartels have their narcotics, and craft store owners have their mountain lion parts. Scrapbooking makes people do crazy things. I mean, they're scrapbookers. Another vehicle-related wildlife crime went down in Florida last month when a Good Samaritan caught 2 alligator poachers on I-75. The Good Samaritan saw a truck pulled over on the side of the highway, and he stopped to offer assistance. Instead, he saw 2 men hauling an alligator back to their truck from some distance away from the road. The pair rolled the 6-foot gator into a tarp and sped off. Officers used traffic cameras to track their movements until they eventually pulled them over 30 miles from where they'd been stopped. The alligator was found with a long metal shaft through its skull that was still connected to a spear gun. Both individuals were charged with the illegal taking of an alligator and taken to jail. Last one for you. Most wildlife crimes are animal-related, but tree poaching is also fairly common. In Oregon, someone has been cutting the burls off of maple trees in a local park in the town of Corvallis. Burls are rough, callus-like growths that form on maple trees, and they're prized by woodpeckers for their complex structure. They're incredibly strong, and they're also each unique. No 2 burls are the same, and they also can't be farmed because no one knows exactly why they grow in the first place or how to replicate the process without killing the tree. Anyway, someone's been taking a chainsaw to Willamette Park. Willamette, damn it. Okay, everybody, we're on the same page. And hacking away at the maple trees. 6 trees have been affected, and one had 9 burls taken off. While trees can survive this kind of surgery, the city's forester told local media that the trees will eventually have to be removed. I honestly didn't think people in Oregon were interested in those types of bowls these days. But, you know, you did take away a nice shade tree, add to urban heating, destroy some family's nice picnic. What do you think of that? Moving on to the legislative desk. Listen up, Jayhawks. The Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks announced last week they plan to begin a multi-year process to, quote, explore issues surrounding baiting and wildlife. The baiting they want to consider does not include bird feeders or agricultural food plots. They define baiting as leaving food out to alter the behavior of animals, which usually involves hunting. It is currently illegal to bait animals on public land, but Kansas is 98% private. Hunters can hunt over bait piles in the vast majority of the state, which means the results of this process could have big consequences. The department says it's launching this discussion due to, quote, the growing concerns within the scientific community about increases in transmissible diseases among wildlife. Folks in states being hammered by CWD can read between the lines there. Kansas biologists are concerned that baiting is increasing the spread of CWD, but they want to get public input before making a decision. They plan to hold town hall-style public meetings in the coming months, and we'll try to let you know about those when they're scheduled. For more information, check out the link at themeateater.com/cal. In Minnesota, the Department of Natural Resources is considering imposing a bag limit on mushroom foragers. Agency officials are concerned about over-harvesting, and they have confirmed with local media that they're thinking about a bag limit on harvest within state parks. Opponents of bag limits acknowledge that the COVID-19 pandemic increased interest in foraging, but they'd like to see the state open more opportunities for mushroom hunting rather than imposing limits on the current harvest. An official proposal has not yet been published, but based on media reports, it sounds like they plan to open an official comment period at some point this year. If you live in Minnesota and you enjoy searching for morels, chanterelles, hen of the woods, and other edible species in state parks, you'll want to keep track of this one. After several years of being criticized for their wolf hunting policies, Montana officials are poised to cut the wolf quota nearly in half. Last year's quota stood at 450 wolves, while this year's is set to drop to 289. Biologists with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks say the wolf population has been trending downward over the last 2 years, and this new hunting and trapping limit will keep that population healthy and sustainable. Hunters and trappers only killed 248 wolves last year, but biologists say reducing the quota will ensure harvest does not exceed sustainable levels. The Montana Commission of Fish, Wildlife, and Parks will decide the quota for the 2023-24 season at its August 17 meeting. Staying in Montana, I'm biased, but, you know, this is my show. The Fish, Wildlife, and Parks Department is asking for public input in their new elk management plan. I encourage all Montana elk hunters to check it out for themselves and comment on the proposed regs in their hunting districts. Broadly speaking, the new plan focuses on habitat and herd makeup rather than just population objectives, and gives wildlife managers more flexibility to manage elk with a broader suite of management tools. Rather than just consider the size of the herd, for example, biologists will consider bull-to-elk ratios and be able to issue tags to adjust those ratios. If necessary, the plan gives wildlife managers a list of more or less restrictive options for antlered and antlerless elk, and they can choose the option that best meets those management goals. The comment period will be open until July 31, and we'll post a link at themeateater.com/cal. I've got a lot to learn on this one, so we're going to circle back here shortly. Now we're going to end the legislative desk in Mississippi, where the Wildlife Commission just voted to make the state's CWD management plan less restrictive. Under the former plan, if a deer was found to be infected with the always fatal disease, the entire county would go into a CWD management zone, and special regulations would be enacted to help slow the spread of the disease. Think baiting bans and restrictions on moving deer carcasses. Also, if the infected deer was found within 10 miles of another county, that county would also be included. However, the commission voted 3-1 in June against the recommendation of Mississippi Department of Wildlife, Fisheries, and Parks to change the regulation. Now, when a CWD-positive deer is found, only an area within roughly a 10-mile radius goes into a CWD management zone. The National Deer Association has come out against shrinking these CWD management zones, and I'd encourage all Mississippi hunters to get in touch with their wildlife commission, unless you want to start training deer to understand what a 10-mile radius is. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thanks so much for listening. And remember to write in to ASKCAL, that's AskCal, at themeateater.com, and let me know what's going on in your neck of the woods. Obviously, we got a special assignment this week with our hunting buddy over there in Wyoming. On top of that, if you need something clean, quiet, and razor sharp that cuts through a tree while you can carry a conversation, check out www.steeldealers.com and find that local knowledgeable steel dealer near you. They're going to get you set up with what you need, and they won't try to send you home with what you don't. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you next week. Outdoor adventure won't wait for engine problems. Things like hard starts, rough performance, and lost fuel economy are often caused by fuel gum and varnish buildup. Seafoam can help your engine run better and last longer. Simply pour a can in your gas tank. Hunters and anglers rely on Seafoam to keep their engines running the way it should the entire season. Pick up a can of Seafoam today at your local auto parts store or visit SeafoamWorks.com to learn more. That's SeafoamWorks.com to learn more. Hey, I just sat down with the owners and operators of Maui Nui Venison. They're on a mission to balance axis deer populations on Maui while giving back to the community and run a totally sustainable operation. For folks like me who want to get your own meat but aren't always successful, you can become a snack subscriber, get some axis deer sticks sent right to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's M-A-U-I-N-U-I. Venison.com and use promo code CAL for 20% off your first order.